And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, and Rock Cod Rick Maxa.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and we're in the mighty 1090 studios, and boy, do we have a big surprise for you today. Not only do we have Captain Brian Sims from the Royal Star, we have Captain Brian Kiyohara from the American Angler. We have dueling long-range captains right here on Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California's sport fishing voice on the mighty 1090.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, use this special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel. A few years ago, Shimano introduced the Tranx 500 reel, and it changed the way we cast for big fish. Now, by popular demand, Shimano has created two new sizes. Introducing the Tranx 300 and 400, available soon at your local Shimano dealer. Tranx is the dream reel for throwing big baits and catching big fish. X-Ship and HEG technologies combine to provide massive cranking power with a smooth, effortless retrieve. Plus, Shimano's new Core Protect water-resistant technology provides long-lasting durability in the harshest environment. The new Tranx 300 and 400 are available in two gear ratios and two different handle designs to cover all fresh and saltwater applications. See the new Tranx 300 and 400 in the Shimano booth at the Fred Hall shows and coming soon to your local Shimano dealer. Tranx, it's not just a new reel, it's a way to fish. Check Shimano.com for all the details.
The offshore fishing around San Diego seems to keep getting better every year, and next season should be no exception. The same is true when it comes to Ford trucks. They just keep getting better, too. In fact, the new Ford Super Duty has just been named Motor Trend Magazine's 2017 Truck of the Year. It's the toughest, smartest, most capable Super Duty ever. If you've got a big boat to move around, look no further. Super Duty beats the competition hands down in both conventional towing and fifth wheel towing. Plus, the new Super Duty is built with high-strength aluminum alloy body panels that won't rust ever. For folks like us that launch a lot of boats, that's a pretty big deal. Continuous improvements and innovations have made F-Series pickups the best-selling trucks in America for 40 years in a row, ever since disco and 8-tracks cassettes were all the rage. So whether you've got an eye on the built Ford Tough F-150 or you need the extra muscle of the new Ford Super Duty, you'll find what you need at your Ford dealer. Go to buyfordnow.com to learn more or stop by any San Diego County Ford dealer. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank DePresti of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there, too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't Don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. What a fun morning this is going to be.
What a bonus, huh?
Yeah.
So it all kind of came down, you know, that, you know, Captain Ryan Bastian from the San Diego was ill, like a lot of guys from Fred Hall Show, I guess. I don't know. It's like a rampant thing, right?
I guess everyone's sick.
So you just got his relief operator in
here. Yeah, so we got the relief operator coming in along with Captain Brian Sims from yesterday. Good morning, gentlemen. We have Brian Hikuhara and Brian Sims.
Good morning. I know everyone's bummed out. It's like, no booger. It's like, what are we going to do now? The world's going to stop.
Are you kidding me? We have two of the best long-range fishermen here. And you've done a little bit of local fishing, too, Brian. I know that.
I ran the San Diego twice last. Yeah. I caught one Dorado one trip, and the next trip I caught two tuna and one Dorado. Like,
nice.
For everybody. I was like,
nice.
They were wondering where Booger was.
Yeah, get this new guy out of here, man.
Are you going to run San Diego this year?
Yeah, if he needs me to.
Huh?
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. I enjoy it.
Huh? Something different.
It's very enjoyable.
Right.
He has a great clientele and just fortunate to be a part of it.
Yeah. Now, of course, your real job is running the American Angler.
Yes.
Yeah.
I get a fish with Gerby all the time.
These
running the American Angler. And
like code group, right? You guys
definitely.
Are together.
Oh, yeah,
right?
We work together really well and work together a lot.
How does that work? I mean, it's kind of unique. Like we talked about, I said, well, I don't think we've ever had two captains from two different boats on. And you reminded me, you brought in Captain Ryan Toussaint several years ago when we were on the show, many, many years ago. And but it's kind of fun. How do you guys work together? I mean, it's pretty important with your group, right?
The ocean's such a big place. Without help, we'd be up the creek.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that when I call Gerby, I know the report that I'm getting from Brian is like I'm seeing it actually out my own wheelhouse windows. What conditions are fishing, all of that. So.
And it's the same for me. You know, it's a giant ocean, hard to catch fish, but you've got somebody else looking at something, and you get a good report from that guy that you can trust. You can make your future moves, and basically the way it works out is both of you catch way more fish working together than you would just in straight competition.
Good information is just as, you know, good fishing, the report is just as good as the bad fishing report. I mean, making your call where you're going and what you're doing.
It's sometimes more important because it saves you from driving down there and having to experience it yourself and burning all that time where you could be looking at something else that may be productive.
Yeah.
As we all know from a lot of people getting their own skiffs and stuff, it's pretty difficult to catch fish from the ocean.
Yes, indeed. And now with more modern communication abilities, you guys have literally you have a channel all your own that you can communicate worldwide with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so. We were just looking at our WhatsApp app that, you know, the Wi-Fi boats have, and it's just like we're getting checks from Hurricane Bank on our couch now. You know, and Steve Loomis, the wisest individual around. He talks about how old timers talk about the good old days and this and that. The good old days of long range fishing, especially for tuna fish, is now.
Now,
no doubt.
Yeah. What do you think Bill Poole would think of all this more modern satellite communication that you guys have? You know, I always think about Bill, and man, there was a great video out. I don't even saw that new one that was just came out about his life that the IGFA did.
Really cool. Bill, he was always innovative and always with an open mind. So I think he'd look at it in admiration. Still, us little punk kids don't work as hard as he ever did.
Yeah, exactly.
Walk uphill both ways kind of gig. But I think because he was such an innovator and an open-minded individual that he would look and watch Justin run that XL and look at satellite water temperatures, call Brian on the radio with satellite communications, and I think he would just be nodding his head in approval.
That's
because,
right.
You know, we are showing our customers with the weather forecast and satellite weather maps, all this stuff. We are providing a better, entertaining, more enjoyable trip than we ever have. Don't you agree?
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the information is key to the success of any angler.
And all of that information. And the boats having Wi-Fi just opens up all that information that's available on the Internet and the communication methods that are available over that. All of it. But it all comes into giving the guys just a fantastic vacation, and you can work around weather and work towards fish. It just makes it better, a better experience overall.
So how did they do it back then? How did Bill Poole do it? I mean, he had tremendous success. How did that happen?
He smelled the bait balls and licked his finger to see which way the wind was blowing and just went for it.
Yeah. You know, we've both been doing this. I started working for Frank in the mid-'80s.
Yeah.
And we caught fish, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But you had a feedometer and side scan maybe back then, right?
But I'm not saying we kill them every trip now, but it's like we provide our passengers way more opportunity. I remember looking for high spots on that ridge and never even finding them, you know, without GPS and stuff like that. So it was one of those gigs that it was more. Now we're staying in three-star hotels. Back then, we were straight camping in tents and living on the ground. And we came back, and, like, the ground fishing for black sea bass and stuff was much better, as you can imagine, than it is now. But, you know, we had a lot of tough trips. Yeah. A lot of tough trips back then.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, looking at now today, you can look at a weather chart. You can look at a chlorophyll chart. You can look at a temperature chart. And you know kind of well the fish, I think, are over here, right?
Yeah, I mean, you take all of that information together and the experience you've got, and you make the best decision, and then you take all the information you're getting from your code boats that are out fishing. And I can't say we do it 100% of the time, but you sure provide a lot of opportunities. I mean, it works out well to take all that information into account and make a really good decision as to where you want to be, and hopefully you find some good life.
Yeah.
It all comes down to luck, Pete. And Steve's definition of
luck
was planning your moves and having the planning an opportunity coming together is luck.
Yeah.
And so it's with our information, we can plan a lot better, and obviously hopefully the people come out fishing.
Sure.
So we can provide that opportunity, and hopefully it comes together and we get lucky.
Fish. Yeah. The way we look at it is the harder we work, the luckier we get.
Yeah. That's true with anything in life, right? Yeah. So we had Gerby's perspective yesterday about the season to come. Brian,
what's
your take?
I
don't know that you heard his perspective.
I did not.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
You know, it's one of those things. In 1983 is my first year of filleting a fish as a deckhand, and it was good El Nino-type fishing. But outside the islands, there was yellowfin tuna. There was yellowtail up and down the coast. Big eye. We had good, decent big eye fishing. A lot of rain that year, 84. I could remember going to sleep hoping that we only caught 75 albacore the next day. Because I was so tired, you know, didn't get any sleep, playing all the way to the point kind of gig. And it also coincided with me and Sam buying the Pacific Queen in the late 90s. We had that big rain year, all of that in 96. And there was yellows on the beach and this kind of stuff, but that albacore was missing for a while. In 1997, Ray Sobiec on the producer, May 12th, was running on a spot. We were fishing yellowtail down there at Pescadero Point, and he finished up early, had limits, and he was going offshore just to look. And I'll never forget, he goes, I see jumpers. I'm not even going to say what I think they are. And he got a jig strike, and I remember we all had shivers going down our spine. And it was May 12th. I think he had a handful of albacore out of his first stop, and it was just.
And that was a great year.
Yeah, ended up being the start of another cycle. So, you know, I'm not going to come out and say it, but that's my hopes and wish and dreams and hopefully. What was your gig yesterday?
I would say you said exactly what I said yesterday in a different way.
Pretty much. You know, I know you're a skier, snowboarder, and you look at the history. Mammoth Mountain has a great website, and they give a snow history, like how many inches. And, of course, this year they've had an epic year. And you look at the comparisons between years, and this year is looking really a lot like 83 in snow.
You know, people talk about water temperatures. Well, the water's hotter now, but I can remember foamer fishing in 70-degree water in 1984 and just praying that. And that those that's the year I think that that albacore stayed around all the way up into December. In December, we were fishing those big albacore like 7 miles from the San Pedro Light.
Shoot. I don't want to do that.
Man, no. I hope that happens.
You don't want to?
Oh, I so want to. Yeah. Are you kidding me? You kidding me?
I guess it could happen, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I personally don't think so because, God, I talk like I'm an old timer, but I'm not. But can you imagine fishing 7 miles, fishing seagull bird schools from the San Pedro Light, and having, when you see a spot and you're running against the Matt Walsh, and then that's it.
Yeah.
There would be like, there was like a yacht and maybe two skiffs out every day.
Right.
Like now you wouldn't even be able to, you'd see a seagull and fart, and then there'd be five, you know, 100 skiffs running toward you, flipping you off that whole game. I don't know if it would happen again.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about, because you're a skiff guy.
Absolutely.
You have a skiff, and you fish from a skiff, and let's talk about boat courtesy, because it's going to happen. I mean, there's interactions for private boats, skiffs, versus sport boats.
Yeah, it's kind of a touchy subject, but, you know, the way I look at it from running a boat is if you see it, it's yours to fish.
Yeah.
You know, and we work at different distances down below, and those distances have definitely become closer over the years. I know for anchor fishing, it used to be a hard line quarter mile, and you know, it's kind of moved into hard line eighth of a mile now. But it's pretty much, if you found it, it's yours to fish until you're done fishing it, and anybody else that slides in on it or pushes their way in, I'd like for them to go find their own fish, because it's not like there aren't more schools around or more productive area around. And that guy that goes and finds his own fresh school is going to do better anyway.
That's the thing that drives you crazy. It's just the lack of respect for the guy that worked harder. It just doesn't seem to exist anymore. If you were farther out, or you were the guy that had two guys that were burning their eyeballs out in binoculars, or you were this guy or that guy, and you find it, it's extra frustrating when you work all day to find that thing and just to have somebody else come zooming in to do it, and especially with that, you know, when you're casting at spots of fish, like that's what drives you so crazy, is you're trying to approach it the appropriate way to put yourself set up to catch those fish, and now you have to drive at it faster than you'd like to, or get in a position you don't want, because the guy that didn't see it is just going to blaze right by and slide right in the middle of it. So now you have to approach it the wrong way just to get a little piece of what you should be working all to yourself, and it just drives you crazy.
You know, Booger, he has them just following him, and he turns and starts running, and the skiffs just head that direction and beat him there.
Like a Pied Piper.
But it's one of those gigs, you know, several times fishing this bluefin thing locally, and it's yellowtail fishing when it's up top and it's bird-related. It's very similar. I thought of you, Rockod, as I was driving that American Angler probably this many times, you know, several handfuls of times, going, you know, if Rick and Pete had a show like at the Portuguese Hall, you know, for X amount of money, and showed people how to properly slide into a spot, approach it, you know, be upwind so you can cast downwind and stuff. A lot of these spots of fish, whether they be bluefin or yellowtail, could be enjoyed by several different boats.
So true.
You know, it's one of those gigs. It's not so much the amount of traffic. It's the guys that just drive right through the middle. And you know, they're nice. I'm sure they're nice people. We think they're idiots on the ocean, but a lot of it, it's we don't know. It's like, because if he's a dentist,
they just don't know.
I don't know how to pull a teeth. Yeah. I know how to catch a fish, or I think I do, but it's one of those things that they're uneducated, and I think, Rockod, you would be the ultimate person, since you drive a skiff for a living and all of that as well, to hold an event at the Portuguese Hall, you and Pete.
That's a good idea.
You know, and offer an educational type gig. I think it'd go big. I'd want to pay you some money to find out how it's done.
Or just do it as a service, right?
Sure.
Just to teach people what's going on. Okay, so you talked about that, driving through the school. So what would be the proper approach? I mean, instead of you guys are fishing and somebody comes up your stern, or they come up, you're drifting one way and they come right in towards your drift. That's the bad thing to do, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't want to get through a guy's chum line. But, I mean, I think to start it out, as you know, for this local fishing that we've been seeing with that bluefin and hopefully we see again this year, you know, the first thing you do when you look at the fish is, okay, I see the fish. That's great. Cool. They're over there. You know, you got to stop the adrenaline from coursing through your veins and actually use your brain. Okay, now which direction are they moving? Now where's the wind and swell coming from? And where do I want to meet that school so that I can get out in front of them, upwind, and have them come through me? So, you know, if everybody saw that and did that, I mean, you can hop to the next meeting point and hop to the next meeting point and just leapfrog boats and continue hitting that school. And if nobody drives right through the middle of it and spooks it out, we can all catch fish.
Yeah, school stays it's like the springtime when there's nobody there, or the only people that are there are the guys that are doing it the right way. You're totally right. You can fish the same spot of yellowtail until you catch your entire limit and then just idle away happy, and you catch your couple feet. Like you say, you stay way upwind of it. You can shut the boat down completely. It'll just walk right to you. Yep. You hook your two fish, and the thing just keeps walking its way, and you get them, and you just idle. I mean, just idle around to the next time, and then get your two more, and then idle around again and get your two more. And you can fish the same spot the whole time. And then as soon as the summertime rolls on, it's just birds and freak out, and I got to get mine before he gets his, and 100 miles an hour, and then it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that spooks the fish out. The fish go down, they're gone. Now you got to go back to work and find another spot.
I saw it time and time again last year, especially in that late season yellowfin that we had locally here, that the fish would be under my boat, and skiffs all of a sudden, we're full bendo and stuff like that. Skiffs would come around 360 degrees around my boat. My eyes about that big, and they catch nothing because the school's under me, right? So the guy that was smart was the guy that would be, like you said, upswell, right? Upwind.
Well, if you're drifting along, I mean, you've got to consider how the boat's drifting. You know, you're drifting downwind, so all of that bait, chum line, whatever that's going out, is upwind, and all of the lines coming off a sport boat are upwind.
Yeah.
So you really don't want to drift upwind off the stern corner of a sport boat, because you're right in that guy's chum line, so you're affecting where he's hooking fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
how far away do you need to be?
I would give it an eighth of a mile. That's me.
Yeah, or this whole local thing. If it's one of those bait orientated things where it's not visual fish, if somebody got up off my bow,
no problem,
and drifted, I'd be fine. Or even off my stern a ways, I'd be okay.
Yeah,
it's not upwind in our customers' fishing lines.
Okay.
Or, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, like, right next to you, right? I mean, like you said.
No, right upwind. We had one in the local season last year. We actually had this guy. He was drifting dead upwind of us, maybe a boat length away. And when he started his engine to go away, he got seven guys' spools of Spectra.
Nice!
All wrapped up in his prop. So, you know, he made it about 100 yards and stopped, and he's tilting his engine and cutting stuff out. And I'm just telling my people, it's like, just let him go. Don't say anything.
Yeah.
Be cool. Cut your Spectra off. I'll fill it up for you again.
Yeah.
You know, this is just, he doesn't know.
So just be conscious of which way the lines are going.
Sure.
And don't be in that spot.
Don't be in that zone where a guy's actually, his bait is actually fishing.
Right.
Don't be in a hurry. That's like my biggest thing. I swear, like, that fish isn't going to, it isn't going to go away. And if it's the type of thing where the spot is up and down so fast, you got to run 100 miles an hour, he's probably not going to bite anyways.
Yeah.
Just not being in a hurry makes the world a different. It keeps you from making mistakes. It allows you to approach the fish the right direction. Just like Gerb said, it allows you to see which direction it's moving. Like, just don't be in a hurry on any of it. The adrenaline rush is so high, it's easy to get buck fever and just want to jam in there. But just, if you idled up to every spot you approached, sure, a couple of them are going to go down before you get there, but those ones probably aren't going to bite anyways. And the number that you would get on good will probably outweigh the ones you'd get on bad so much you'd catch way more fish in the long run.
Yeah. So be conscious of what's going on around you, your surroundings, and be courteous to the other guy is the bottom line, for sure.
That's a good call.
As you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you today.
Well, you're not kidding. Going to be so much fun and so much good opportunity, both having Brian and Brian in here talking all kinds of fishing, local, long range, and everything in between. We're going to have a great show today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of Let's Talk Hookup this morning, there's two ways that you can reach us. First is with our local line, which is almost full right now, but there is still one available if you want to get through. Local number, 858, area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090. That's our local number. Or you can try us toll free, and there is a toll free line open right now. That's your best chance to get through. 877-792-1090. One more time, 877-792-1090. Not only are we going to be taking your phone calls today, giving great information, we got some great catch reports coming up, so much cool stuff on Let's Talk Hookup. We are also giving away a great prize, and that's a three-quarter day trip to go fishing aboard the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing. You didn't get your fill of booger today, but you're going to get plenty of opportunity because you're going to get to go fishing for a three-quarter day trip with Captain Ryan Bostian on the San Diego out of C4. And you're going to get two tickets to go to the Fred Hall Show in Del Mar. It's March 23rd through the 26th, so a really cool prize. And if you want to get your shot at talking to Brian or your shot to go fishing on that trip, 877-792-1090. When we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots of great info coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's sport fishing voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest. For decades, the Kona Kai has been considered San Diego's premier marina resort and spa. Now with millions of dollars in upgrades, the Kona Kai Resort is a destination for travelers worldwide who can live it every day. The docks and services are the finest quality in San Diego, and the Kona Kai is the closest marina to the open ocean. As a marina tenant, you enjoy many benefits, including secured free parking, a deluxe health club, swimming pool, and more. Enjoy discounts at their restaurant, bar, and hotel. If you don't have a boat, there are memberships available at a very affordable price. The Kona Kai Club has been offering members a home away from home since 1953. Members can spend their days on Kona Kai's private beach, meet new people in the club's modern lounge, share a meal with family at Vessel Restaurant and Bar, or pamper themselves in Spa Terra. Check out ResortKonaKai.com on the web for more information, to reserve a slip, or inquire about joining the club. The Kona Resort, like being on vacation every day in your own backyard.
It's Fred Hall Showtime, and Fisherman's Landing Tackle has the best selection and the hottest deals in the show. Hi, this is Doug Kern. The huge Fisherman's Landing Tackle booth is a must-see this year, and the deals will be unmatched. Check out the most complete selection of Shimano products. Talica, Trinidad, Torium, Terramar, Terez, Stella, Twin Power, Saragossa, Power Pro, Tackle Bags, and the all-new exciting Tranx 300 and 400 size reels. Come visit our greatest booth ever. Fisherman's Landing Tackle, a must-see at this year's Fred Hall Show.
When you put on a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, the world begins to look different. Colors are more vivid. Contrast is clearer. Details are crisper. Wherever your vision leads you, beauty follows. With polarized lenses that eliminate glare and enhance color, Maui Jim sunglasses won't change the world. They'll change the way you see it. Color, clarity, detail. Maui Jim.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
Ranch is small, you know. It's very personal, very intimate. I don't think there's anywhere else that you could have the old Baja feel and have all the miles of beachfront, the palapa roofs and the stone walls. There's not a room that you don't have some kind of ocean view. You don't give up any amenities at the ranch. It's just very rustic. You know how when you cook outdoors it tastes better? Well, that's Rancho Leonero. It just tastes better. We have paddle boards, we've got kayaks, we've got snorkeling equipment, of course, we've got 12 super pongas. We have dive trips, we've got over 40 kayaks at the hotel. We've got all accurate equipment, very top of the line. And when the fishing's good, we'll freeze your fish, pack it all up, send it home with you. People love it. They'll come back 5-6 times a year. That's the highest accolade we can get. 1-800-646-2252, 646-BAHA, and RanchoLeonero.com. It's unique.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. On the Mighty 1090, phones are already packing up solid. There's literally one line open if you want to get through. Join in the fun, 877-792-1090, your opportunity right now.
We were just talking in the break about gyro binoculars and what an important... We talked about the tools that have changed the lives of sport boat operators like yourself. How about gyro binoculars? We didn't even mention gyro binoculars, and they have just...
Oh,
they've changed the life not only for sport boat operators, but for private boat guys too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Seeing that sign, and you can see it so much more clearly and so much farther away. It's stable. It's like watching a movie, you know, at 12 power. Here you go.
Yeah.
I can see things 12 times as far away as I can with the naked eye, and it's stable like I'm looking at you across the room.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
Hey, Brian?
In the early 80s, you know, when the guys first started using sonars on sport boats, it was like, oh, my God, what a revelation. It's this whole gyro, you know, optic thing. I'm not going to say it's more important than the sonar, but, boy, I'll tell you.
One would you give up first?
None of them. We have four sets of gyros and two sonars on the boat. So if that answers
okay,
the question.
Okay, but come on. Let's just a kind of fantasy question. What would be the tool that you would say, okay, I'll give that one up, but I'm not giving
for
this
what
one
kind
up
of fishing?
For tuna fishing.
Ugh.
That's a tough one, right?
Yeah, I would just quit and go home.
I think that's a good answer. I think that's a good answer.
Eat them both.
I don't want to give up either one of those tools. Because one, you're searching above the water, and one, you're searching below the surface for what you can't see.
Yeah,
so, I mean, no.
Yeah, no.
No, but I'm not giving up either one of
but
them.
But a skiff guy doesn't have, most of the time, doesn't have the luxury of a side-scanning sonar. So that makes having a good pair of gyroscopic binoculars even more critical, right?
It is one of those things. It's a serious investment, and I'm a guy that works in a tackle store. I don't got a ton of dough.
Yeah.
It is a necessity that you can't even put a price tag on. For the amount of money that it costs us to go do it, fuel and permits and bait and time and work and everything else, like, there's not a price tag that wouldn't be too much for having it, because it's exactly that, especially on a private boat, because having a pair of Baker 7x50s was the raddest thing in the game, and they still work great, don't get me wrong, but the level of difference that it has on a skiff when you're bouncing around, you can't glass very effectively as it is, and then to be able to stable that down, like, it puts us back in the game, being able to look. I mean, sure, it's not the same as being on the American Angler or being on the Royal Star and being in the bridge and a nice stable platform, but it allows you to get back in the game. And we don't have a sonar on a small boat. Like, you're fishing with your eyeballs. I know that with the exception of, navigating back home again, I would sure go without, an up and down meter well before I ever did have a pair of binoculars. We find
absolutely
95% of the fish that we catch on a small boat are with your eyeballs, period. You know, I mean, sure, you're temperature, and there's all kinds of things that make a difference, but we're eyeball fishing.
It's eyeballs. And on a skiff, it's eyeballs.
Yeah. And
got to do it.
You've gone from, being able to see a bird at a half a mile to 4 miles. You know, I mean, think about the circle. Think about how big the circle around your boat is you're effectively fishing with them versus how big it is without them.
I take people out of the boat, and they grab my gyro binoculars, and I kind of gasp a little bit, and they go, what? And I go, well, those cost $4,000. So just be real careful, okay? And $4,000 for a pair of binoculars, but
that's their peak grade deal.
Tool,
they're
right?
$5,500. They're $5,000.
The
other guy.
The Fraser Bylights were at the time $4,000. Mm-hmm. I bought it, but now they're $4,500. If you can even get them anymore, because the military grabs most of them up. Is the issue. That's the problem, is if you can even get a pair of Frasers or even Fujinons. But there's also the other Fujinon that's the...
Technostabi.
The Technostabi, which is not quite the one, but it's better than not having
If
one.
You cannot swallow a $5,000 pill, which I understand, trust me, I get it. I'm not a ton of dough guy. But for $1,100, you can go to Baker Marine and buy a pair of Fujinon Technostabies, and you will elevate your game tenfold.
Yes.
It's just you're just crazy not to do it. Now, trust me, I get it. Like, I'm not the guy that throws around, you got to buy $1,000 this or $1,000 that. But that is one of those things that you have to make the investment.
You don't want to go to all the way that technostavy. Have you used those?
Just a matter of how much fish do you want to catch.
Right.
I mean, how effective do you want to be on the water?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can pound a nail with a real small hammer. You can pound a nail with the right hammer.
That's a good paintbrush.
And it's the right tool. I mean, I hardly even pick up my unstabilized 7x50s anymore. There are trips I don't even bring them. You know, I look at them for navigation at night, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those techno stabies, it's my crew members that they all fish on skiffs.
Sure.
They love them.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that they aren't going to make 15 or 18 knots of wind flat calm like the $5,000 pair does. But, you know, you plan your trips around the weather when you're fishing out of a skiff, and you could get the opportunity where there's no wind and no Y capsules. Techno stabies are fantastic.
A good alternative. A very
fantastic,
viable,
yes, sir.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'd say this too. We have zero affiliation with those guys at all.
Yeah,
but
Baker,
but I like Baker a bunch. And
great people.
You can buy techno stabies anywhere for the same price virtually all the time. You know, you could go online and find an Amazon deal and maybe get them for $50 less or $100 less. But there's something so nice about being able to go to a shop that's at Shelter Island that's on your way, and if and when there's a problem, that's when you so get. I mean, they're basically the same price as everybody else, but you're buying them from a store that you can walk into when you have a problem, or if you have a question, or now you've got a friend that you can talk to when it's time to upgrade. He can explain to you the difference between this glass and that glass. And I mean, we've never had an affiliation with Baker, but I think they're just that is the only spot to buy them from.
Yep.
Oh, hands down. You know, Brian and Anthony, you know, Anthony's third generation now.
That's cool.
Wow.
Brian's dad at Baker, he was a part of every Coast Guard inspection that we had, you know, because we would have to spin our compass, you know, and adjust our compass and have deviation and variation, you know, magnetic variances. And Brian's dad at Baker Marine, he was the one that would come down
That's
to the
cool.
boat and do that on stuff. All the sport boats and all the tuna boats. And so he was a big part of the whole fishing community in San Diego. And they worked on those big 32-power Sainer's pipes. And so, you know, they were 750 Bakers. But now the new generation, how times are evolving now, that's how they're into these optics.
So they're the best.
Gyro stabilized and all that. And, like, you know, we've known them on a first-name basis my entire career.
Multiple generations. Just explain. It's interesting because it kind of brought back memories of when I was a kid and when you used to have to have your compass spun. Explain that to me.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. I hate to be naive.
We don't do that anymore.
Yeah, he
right?
would come down and, you know, we would just be the rocks that would be turning the boat. Okay, do a slow 360-degree circle here. And, you know, he would have all his deviation and variation cards out. You know, what are the magnetic differences of our electronics that are close to the compass, different metallic objects on the dashboard. And so he would make each one of the vessels our own deviation card. So at 340-degree heading, you would also, it was off 2 degrees because your radar was too close to your compass and stuff like that.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
And it was important because there was no GPS.
No GPS.
Yeah. And you were basically navigating by just
you were dead reckoning.
Yeah.
You know, it's compass heading and time.
Yeah.
You know, the stories of guys going to Laos Rocks and never finding it, there's plenty of them out
sure.
there. And so it was, you know, when we first started working on boats, we would have to chart our positions all the time, and do it on time and speed and all of that. And
yeah.
Now,
and if you were off 2 degrees and you're traveling 500 miles, you're going to miss.
Oh, you're going to miss.
Big time.
Yeah, without gyroscopic binoculars, too,
to find that rock.
Yeah.
Pull out your pipes and realize, oh, there it is. We're seven miles away. I can see it.
Exactly.
That.
Yeah, I mean, Brian touched on it earlier, guys trying to find high spots on the ridge and never finding them.
Yeah.
You know, and those are guys who did it for a living. They did it every day.
Yeah.
You know,
amazing.
So a little bit of set, a little bit of drift, and you're off on your compass 2 degrees, 3 degrees. You're not going to find the fish.
There it is.
You're not
I remember the argument in the bridge between Steve and Frank of getting a GPS. And Frank's like, God, we've done it for years without it. And Steve says, they used to row across the ocean, too. and it's one of those things, it was over a $4,000 investment.
Sure.
sure.
For the original GPS that
was
they
that
put on that Royal Polaris.
Or GPS?
The original GPS.
GPS, yeah.
That they put on that Royal Polaris was over $4,000. And, you know, that was 30 years ago.
That was 20 grand.
It was a hit. Now it comes on our wristwatch and our phone.
Yeah.
For free.
Well, hey, let's head south down to Rancho Leonero. Talk to Mr. John Ireland. Buenos dias, John.
Good morning, Peter, Rick, Brian, and Brian.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Well, we finally sent out some boats this week and had some good results. The fishing is definitely starting to pick up.
Cool.
We're pleased with this week. It was started. The weather's been pretty nice. It was about Tuesday, the weather really flattened out, and it's been fishable all week. Early in the week is mostly inside. A lot of Sierra around. A lot of nice pargo too. Pargo, 10 to 15 pound pargo. They're picking up a lot of Jack Crevel inside. A very, very good fishing inside, and everybody's kind of concentrating. Last couple days, we sent out four boats each day. Yesterday, we had a pretty darn good day. One of the boats went north, just off the south end of Sorabo Island, picked up 130-pound yellowfin, which is our first tuna of the year and a nice size, good way to start. And then one of the other boats went south and picked up a couple wahoo. South of Fraley's, about 40-pound fish, something like that. So it really is starting to pick up. They caught the tuna on dead ballyhoo, trolling the dead ballyhoo, and a CD18 Rapala picked up the wahoo. But the fishing's good. Water temp 69, 70 degrees, which is real normal for this time, which is good. This is the first year in 4 years I can think of that we're actually back to normal water temps, and things are looking pretty normal. So it was very, very encouraging yesterday seeing these fish, guys starting to pick up some big quality game fish. And
that's great news.
Spread. Yeah, spread, though. The tuna is way off in Sorabo, and the wahoo is way, way south. So, but it's getting better daily, and we're pleased. Like I said, it's a good start for the season. Over the last week, we've been sending 3 or 4 day boats out a day. And so we're finally getting an idea of what's going on outside. A few striped marlin being released, which is usual, and lots of rooster fish running up and down the beach. So we're just getting going, but it's looking good.
Yeah, indeed. And I know Pam and Phil are up at the Fred Hall Bakersfield show today, and they'll be there all day today if you're going to that show and you want to book some trips. Or you'll be back here for the Fred Hall Del Mar show, the 23rd through the 26th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds, right? You'll be back in town.
Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't miss it. Del Mar's my favorite show. Home show, you know.
Home show, yeah, indeed.
Home show.
And if we, in the meantime, we want to book a trip to Rancho Leonero. I know we had a lot of frenzied booking for our tournament in June and other prime times like that. How do we get a hold of you?
Thanks, Pete. It's 800-646-2252, 646-BAJA, or RanchoLeonero.com. We'll have these photos of these fish up the next day.
Cool. That's great news, John. Thanks a lot for that. And we will talk to you next Sunday.
Picking up. Thanks, guys.
All right.
See you,
appreciate
John.
That very much. All right. The local lines are full, but if you want to get through, here's your chance. 877-792-1090. Open right now. Let's jump into it, Rick.
You got it. Why don't we start it off with Grant, who's called us from San Carlos this morning. Good morning, Grant. Thanks for getting us started on the phones.
Morning, boys. How's everybody?
Hi, Grant.
Hey, listen, I wanted to make a comment regarding the Techno Scabies. When I bought mine, Anthony at Baker was fantastic, obviously, and I asked him one question about that versus the $4,000 pair that I could never stomach and stay married. And I thought, well, what is there? And I didn't even know they existed for $1,200. Like, yeah, I'll buy those. I said, so what do you have to do to service them? What happens to them? He goes, nothing. Well, oh, if you drop them, yeah, you have to rebuild them. How much does that cost? About $400, and you get like a new pair. He said, on the big glasses with the gyro motor, every once in a while we have to replace the motor. So that's about the cost of the glass, your whole set of glasses, your whole pair of glasses. So, you know, they're very reliable as well, as long as you keep your hands on them. And they were game changers for us. And then the other thing I wanted to just mention, and I really appreciate the discussion about having, you know, water and how well it works when you have other people that understand the etiquette factor, like you're talking about, Rick. And I just have to give my son kudos when we're out in the boat together. He's taught me a lot about etiquette, because anybody that has it, he does, and gives everybody tons of room, to the point where there's a school of bluefin up and somebody's on it, we're looking, we're going right past it. We're going to look for another one. And it's worked many, many times. So kudos to him on that. And I'll just leave it at that. And thanks for all the information. And also the other thing, one more thing, was working as a team on the deck of a sport boat versus not working as a team on the deck of a sport boat, the results are quite different. And it's kind of like the same way when you're out on your own boat.
Indeed, yeah, and that's why both these boats work so well together, is they have quite the team on deck, right, Brian's? It's like the life of Brian here today.
Yeah, that team atmosphere just makes everything run smooth. You know, it's like gears that mesh together to turn the wheels.
Yeah, like you talked about, your crew has been with you for decades, and same with you, right?
Communication is key.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
And speaking of communication, that's what always impresses me so much when you go on a boat like the American Angler or a boat like the Royal Star or any of the premier class of long-range boats. Like, I mean, you said that communication is the key. What always blows me away is you don't, you know, as a passenger, you don't even see the communication. You know what I mean? The guys just know this is what gets done right now and this is what needs to do. And whatever situation presents itself, those guys are so good at what they do that things just seem to get done without us knowing about it. You know, like Bryce said, you're on a fishing vacation, and it is done that way. Whether there's things that are said in the wheelhouse that we don't know about, but, I mean, it amazes me how good those crews are at reacting to what needs to get done without a word. Fish comes over the rail, how quickly they're spiked and bled and processed, or if there's somebody that's in trouble with a fish, I mean, two people untangling, or there's a problem with the machinery, we don't ever even know about it. You know, I mean, there might be a massive, you know, thing that three guys need to MacGyver, but all we know is the apple turnover's ready in the galley, and we're still fishing. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy how good those crews are at dealing with things without us ever even knowing there's an issue.
So true, indeed. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right, how about we jump right back into him and talk to Glenn? He's calling us from Fallbrook this morning. Hi, Glenn. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good. What's up, Glenn?
Great show so far. Love all the history lessons, and yes, you guys are old.
Thanks,
yeah,
Glenn.
join the crowd, Glenn.
Yeah, but I want to give a real quick update on that 15-day that got lost right before the Fred Hall show, the ninth annual Las Rocas trip. Tough fishing down there, but it was a great trip. We only mustered up a couple cows, but wanted to let you know that we did do the fifth annual Sean Bickle fundraiser for his kids' trust fund, and we raised another $2,100 for that. So really wanted to thank all the sponsors out there and everyone that helps out to make that thing happen.
Yeah, that is so awesome of you, Glenn, that you do that every year to take care of those kids. I mean, you run great charters. So
yeah,
kudos to you.
That. Hey, and one of the things I to elaborate yesterday, Brian, on the most important thing to bring out there, we're talking gear, rods, rail. But I think the most important thing that you can bring on a long-range trip is your attitude, and going out with an expectation that you can't control the catching, the weather, but definitely control the atmosphere out there. And if you go out with the expectation of it's a vacation, you're going to have a great experience, and look at the nature that you're out there and doing some things that are once-in-a-lifetime experience, you're going to have a much far better experience out there fishing than if you have expectations of catching.
Absolutely. We always just say, what do you need to take on a long-range boat? Just bring a smile.
Yeah.
I assumed when Glenn said that he's going to say the most important thing was a kegerator. The Los Rocas trip doesn't mess around. I just assumed that's what the most important thing was.
That just helps keep the smile rolling.
There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great information. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
This is Pete Gray to tell you about one of my favorite places to fish in the world. It's Whalers Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. For several years now, we've been hosting groups at Whalers Cove, and this is certainly one trip I do not miss. Each year, the Powers family makes great improvements to the lodge that make this great lodge even better. New rooms, new boats, new fish processing facilities, new outdoor kitchen. The list goes on and on. As for fishing, the calm waters around Whalers Cove are 100 miles from any large town, so you will enjoy wilderness adventure without the crowds. Whalers Cove Lodge has some of the best salt and freshwater fishing in Alaska, and there's no need for a bumpy boat ride for hours. You can find productive fishing for salmon, halibut, and rockfish just 10 minutes from the lodge. Here's the deal. The word is out on Whalers Cove, so you want to go? Book soon. WhalersCoveLodge.com or call 800-423-3123. WhalersCoveLodge.com for the Alaska fishing experience of a lifetime.
Hi, I'm Bart Hall, and I'm honored to be back to tell you about the 41st annual Fred Hall Show, March 23rd to the 26th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. When I think back over our 71-year history, I am always amazed that the little show my father produced at the old Gillmore Stadium in 1946 could have grown into the 2017 version of the Fred Hall Shows. The San Diego Show has become San Diego's largest and most exciting sport fishing show, one of the nation's most prominent boat shows, and a world-class international travel and hunting show. It is always our goal to entertain you for a full day with nearly 500 booths, over 200 seminars, acres of boats, and dozens of family fun activities. Kids 15 and under are always free. But the Fred Hall Shows also strive to help preserve the lifestyle of fishing, hunting, boating, and outdoor recreation that so many of us cherish. Please come and help us celebrate the passion for outdoor recreation at the Fred Hall Show March 23rd to the 26th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Join the Coastal Conservation Association of California and get in free. Presented by Progressive. Check us out at fredhall.com.
It's a whale of a show.
Have you been looking for a live bait hook that keeps live bait alive? Look no further than Japan's leading fish hook, Gamakatsu. It's the little things that make the difference, and Gamakatsu hooks drive the point home. With an absolute perfect bend and ideal barbs, your bait swims harder and longer. And when you get bit, Gamakatsu hooks bite back with a vengeance. All hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success. Gamakatsu, simply the best. Check Gamakatsu.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
It's time for our PowerPro 30-second seminar, and I tell you what, with PowerPro, what I like about it is the knot strength. You tie a knot with PowerPro, whether it be a John Collins knot, an Albright knot, back-to-back uni, they hold and work with PowerPro.
Yeah, the line is just not stiff. It's the perfect amount of round. It has good abrasion resistance, and it's just easier for connections than other types of line out there.
Indeed, PowerPro at your favorite tackle store, or check out PowerPro.com.
XSRF 1090 AM, Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Aztec.
What the clam dunk? That's what I'm talking about.
San Diego sports leader, the mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the mighty 1090.
All right, time for the catch report.
You got it, man. Let's find out what's biting out there. Today, the catch report sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Fisherman's Processing is San Diego's finest, and that's why they're known as the Fish Pros. And once you try them, you'll be hooked. They'll fillet and vacuum pack your fish to your specs, as well as offer the best in smoked fish, jerky, and their famous tuna burgers. Check fishermansprocessing.com for more details, or you can see them when your trip returns to the San Diego Landings. And let's start it off up at Dana War Sport Fishing and talk to the man, Captain Brian Woolley's on the line. What's up, Woolley?
Hey, good morning. What's happening, guys? How are you this morning?
Doing great. Good morning.
Good, good. Well, hey, more of the same up here this week for us as the last few weeks, starting with the three-quarter day stuff. The rockfish right now has really been the main focus for us. You know, we've managed to have some pretty decent bottom fishing this week. Good mixed bags with reds, grouper, and copper rockfish, making up the majority of the counts out there. You know, the red crab is settled in again big time out in that deeper water where we've been fishing. You know, kind of crept in over that 50-fathom curve and kind of settled in on that hard bottom. So some days it's taken some looking and some time to find the right area that's kind of been devoid of that crab in order to find the rockfish that have been willing to bite. But, you know, you get set up on the right one, it's certainly been worth it. The half-day stuff, a little closer to home, in and around the kelp and over the hard bottom spots again, you know, catching the usual sand bass and the calico bass, a few nice sheephead. Now some guys, since that sheephead opened up, been bringing out their own shrimp or mussel baits and been doing okay on some of those bigger sheephead. Overnight fishing for us, you know, the Fury's been out at San Clemente Island. He's had some really good bottom fishing out there. Rockfish limits yesterday, I think, for his trip out there with some good white fish and some bonito sample and stuff like that out there. He said there's not been really any sign of yellowtail yet out there, but I'm sure with this great weather window here, you know, we'll probably see some of that change a bit, hopefully, for him out there as well. Fury also Catalina one day this week on his 5-to-5 trips, so he's rock fishing out there as well. Just the sea lines too close to the island have been just a complete nightmare, so they've all been out deep. So he'll be at Catalina again on those trips a day or two this week as well. And, you know, like I said, it looks like it's shaping up to be a good week with this killer weather window we're going to have. So hopefully, you know, we see a little bit of the same this week for us. So that's pretty much it. If you guys want to hop on a trip, definitely call the landing and make a reservation. Phone number here is 949-496-5794. You can check us out on the web at danawharf.com. And then, like I mentioned every week, you know, on one of these local half-day or three-quarter-day trips, you can save a few bucks, click right on our banner ad on the Let's Talk Hookup webpage, and I'll give you a little discount code, and you can book online from there.
All right. Yeah, that sounds good, Brian. And, man, you know, take advantage of this weather. It's just fantastic. I mean, they're freezing their tails off on the East Coast, and here we're basking in the sunshine here and flat, calm weather, and fish are biting. So get out there and go fishing.
Sorry about it.
We'll take it for sure. You know, one thing I forgot to mention, our with the time change going on, our three-quarter-day trip will be departing at 6 a.m. now. So that'll be running from 6 to 3 as opposed to the 7 to 4 hours. Okay. During the wintertime.
Nice.
Very good. All right. Yeah, it's spring is here. Time has changed, and we're ready to roll. So thanks a lot for that. Dana Wharf Sport Fishing banner right on the front page of the Let's Talk Hookup website, hookup1090.com. Save some big bucks, and you're in there. Hey, talk to you next Sunday, Brian. Appreciate the call this morning.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump into those phones, Rick.
You got it. How about we talk to Mario calling us from Rancho Cucamonga? Good morning, Mario. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Excellent show. Just would like to ask, can you give me any advice as a private boater on finding and catching yellowtail, maybe a few tips getting on the fish a little better?
Yeah, are you talking, well, finding them is all about water conditions. What's in that water, good clean water, and current. Wow. The experience of looking at water and having somebody who's good at it, if you've got access to somebody that you can take with you who does it a lot or has done it a lot and focuses on those things, you'll tend to find a lot more fish if you're just fishing good water with current and a little bit of bait in it.
Brian?
Bird life. Even if whether you're catching them at Catalina on with squid or something, there's seagulls sitting around all the lifiest areas. Out here at the Coronado, springtime fishing, turn birds, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. It's bird life. It's starting off looking for birds and going where they're at and taking it from there.
Yeah. And then how about technique? When you get on a school, and all of a sudden it comes onto the boat, you see it on the meter. What's your favorite yellowtail techniques?
Oh, it would be the yo-yo jig on a skiff. Yeah.
Okay.
That would probably be it.
Find out if they're biting, right?
If they're not up on the surface showing and splashing, obvious, it would be the yo-yo jig would be your go-to guy.
Yeah,
because you see them on the meter, you see them down deep, get something down to where those fish are quick. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah. All right. I hope that helped you out, Mario. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. How about we jump back in home and talk to Ed? He's calling us from Mira Mesa this morning. Good morning, Ed. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, guys. My question is, okay, I'm going to start getting into the surface iron a little bit more. And the problem I'm finding is finding good jigs that, you know, that kick out and have good movement. And if you can help me there, you know, if the head needs to be a wider head or a sharper point or, you know, or edge on it. And also the Z-bar, can you tell me anything about that?
All right, guys, so what's your favorite way to pick a surface iron?
For me, the most important thing is practicing casting.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what kind of lure you have tied on. If you can't cast effectively, or if you can't cast backlash free, because a lot of times you only get one or two shots a day.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what color jig or what kind of jig.
How it swims, whatever.
It's placement and being able to cast. So I before I worry about picking out a jig, I would worry about practicing casting.
So that you can do it under pressure. Brian's absolutely right. I mean, and once you've got that casting down under pressure to where you can make that good long cast so you get a good long run and put it exactly where you want to put it, then it gets into the techniques of picking jigs and getting jigs that swim. And the way I do it, I go grab a bunch of them off the rack and cast them.
Yeah.
You know, you throw it, you look at it in the water. If you like it, well, you're about 60% of the way, and then you got to throw it into some fish and see if the fish agree with you.
Yeah.
You're right, though. Putting a lure in front of a hungry yellowtail is 1,000 times more effective than having a great swimming lure that's too short or too far to the left or not, you know, or just not a spot of fish there. I mean, they'll... If you cast a lure at a spot of fish, you're gonna that are blowing up on baits, your chance of getting a bite is much higher than others.
And some days, correct me if I'm wrong, they want some action, a certain action, and other days they want a different action, right? I mean, different lures, different days. Are you changing them up, or do you always have that one go-to lure that works every time?
You know, I'd say that one go-to lure is really important. But there are different, you know, definitely different days, different areas, different size jigs. Some places they eat the small jig. Some places they like the big jig. And if you've got one or two or three of every size and a couple different color combinations, there's definitely some things that'll work better on a given day.
I would say when you're on the anchor, on the San Diego, on the Liberty, at the Coronal Islands, and bait is getting sprinkled around, it's almost more old. I mean, I hate to say, but it's almost more the way that it was, not the way that it is. You know, the way that three-quarter day yellowtail fishing was you anchor on a spot, wait for the conditions to get right, keep your chum going, wait for the fish to come to you, and that's where the super badass swimming Tatty 45 made the difference. You know, the jig that swam awesome that wasn't fish that were fired up on a spot of fish. It was fish that were swimming around, picking off baits out of the chum line. When you were Danny Wade casting a rad 7X, that's when a really good swimming lure makes a difference. But we can't fish that way much anymore with sea lions the way they are. Now it's drive the boat to a school, pour a bunch of bait on them, get them super fired up, and that's when hitting that area of fish that's fired up makes the big difference. I mean, a good swimming lure is always going to get bit better than a poor swimming lure, but it's just not as important as it was, you know, because when you're casting to fish that are super fired up and aggressive, they're going to bite it because it's there. But when you're sitting on an anchor waiting for one fish that's skirting on the outside of where you can make a cast to, that's when having that perfect swimming 45 makes the world a difference.
Sure. What about the Z-Bar?
Those things are good swimming jigs. I mean, to answer your question about picking a good lure off the wall, it's harder. You know, it's like a lot of things these days. A lot of lures maybe don't have the care that they had before, or the material's different, or they're stuck with having to use a paint that's EPA approved, or a process that's now approved, or they don't have a, you know, there's so many things that, you know, maybe they aren't as good as they were back in the day. That Z-Bar is a really good swimming jig because he cuts them from a CNC machine. So there's, you know, you don't have to worry about the molds being this way or that way. The downfall to a Z-Bar is they're really expensive. I mean, they're not a little bit expensive, they're really expensive, you know, because you're paying for a CNC machine to cut a lure out. So the edges are really sharp and the hips are really pronounced, but, you know, it costs what, you know, I mean, if, like Brian was saying, if you buy three Tatty 45s, one of those three is going to swim better than the other two are. It's like buying three Tatty 45s. Those jigs are $30 or $40,
yeah,
you know.
But if you want to make the investment, they will.
But you know it's going to be a good swimming lure.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More with Brian, more with Pete, but not more with me, because I'm going to boogie out of here and go fishing aboard the Journeyman. Super excited. So I won't be joining you for the second hour, but a lot of Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More your phone calls, more great information. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Same rig and setup.
It's Fred Hall Showtime, and Fisherman's Landing Tackle has the best selection and the hottest deals in the show. Hi, this is Doug Kern. The huge Fisherman's Landing Tackle booth is a must-see this year, and the deals will be unmatched. Check out the most complete selection of Cousins rods ever. Cousins builds the finest saltwater rods available anywhere, and you can see them all in the Fisherman's Landing Tackle booth. Be sure to check out the brand new Fisherman's Landing Custom Series, built by Cousins to Fisherman's Landing Tackle specifications. Come visit our greatest booth ever, Fisherman's Landing Tackle, a must-see at this year's Fred Hall Show.
There's a new kid in town, and they are creating near miracles on boats all over the Southland. It's Blue Seas Fabrication, the West Coast first and only certified sea deck fabricator and installer. Install sea deck EVA from non-skid decking materials on your boat, sport fisher, or yacht, and your boating experience is enhanced and improved. Why? Well, first, sea deck from Blue Seas Fabrication enriches the look of any boat, old or new.
Next, the SeaDeck non-skid decking material adds comfort, convenience, safety, and value. The possibilities are endless. Let the experts from Blue Seas Fabrication show you how SeaDeck will make your life easier and better on every trip. Their professional staff will custom fit your deck, bridge, and interior with the stylish, non-absorbent, stain-resistant, and easy-to-clean material in multiple textures, designs, and colors. SeaDeck offers comfort and anti-fatigue properties for those long days of fishing. It can also be used on kayaks, boat trailers, and more. See for yourself. Check BlueSeasFabrication.com to see how SeaDeck can transform your watercraft and truly create a wow factor for the next time you head out. Call them at 858-232-4188 for more information and a free quote. Check BlueSeasFabrication.com and enhance your fishing experience.
Alaska is one of the ultimate fishing destinations in the world. This is Rock Cod Rick, and every year the one trip I look forward to is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. My dad and I have been going for over 15 years, and I just can't wait to go again. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, the finest fishing charter captains in all of Sitka, and the ultimate value. Sure, I've been to others, but time and time again, nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. You can catch huge halibut like the ones we do almost every year, and salmon? Well, Sitka is famous for some of the best runs in Alaska. We also get plenty of rockfish and huge lingcod. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. And listen to this. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except the tips. It's truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Come and join me on the Let's Talk Hookup trip in June, or just go when you can. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
XRRF 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
The best Major League Baseball coverage is right here.
Deep and very gone. A blast to left field.
San Diego sports leader, the mighty 1090.
Pete here. I was fortunate enough to use the new Simrad NSS Evo 2 touchscreen chart plotter and sonar unit on my boat this summer and fall. And let me say, it's truly incredible. With an easy-to-use tablet-style interface that's fresh but familiar, the new Simrad NSS Evo 2 combines a multi-touch screen with push-to-select rotary dial for precision control and speedy response. As for marking schools of tuna, yellowtail, and more, it's the best. You run over a school, and there they are in full color and high definition. The new NSS Evo 2 built-in sonar technology, including chirp and structure scan, can't be beat. I recently added the Simrad AP24 autopilot to my system. I've had other autopilots before, but I can tell you this one is simple, sensitive, and accurate. It integrates with my Simrad NSS Evo 2. I set a waypoint, touch the screen, and the boat steers to that spot. There's a lot more to the new Simrad NSS Evo 2 system and AP24 autopilot I'd like to tell you, but best just go to your local Simrad dealer or see simrad-yachting.com for more details.
It's time for the spectacular 41st Annual Fred Hall Show, March 23rd to the 26th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. San Diego's biggest fishing show, biggest boat show, biggest outdoor recreation event of the year. Hundreds of booths, acres of boats, over 200 seminars presented by Cousins Tackle. Hundreds of kayaks and stand-up paddleboards. The Diamond Bass Tank, the Accurate Fishing Saltwater Tank, Hobie Kayak Fishing Seminars, Costa's Sporting Chef Cafe, the Mammoth Lakes Kids Fish Free Trout Pond, the San Diego Ford Dealers Paul Bunyan Lumberjack Show, archery, target shooting, free dive, fly casting, kids casting, and so much more. Kids free, kids fish free. Join CCA Cal and get in free. Come and share in the legacy of the Fred Hall Shows as we celebrate the passion of fishing, boating, hunting, and outdoor recreation at San Diego's number one show. The Fred Hall Show, March 23rd to the 26th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Presented by Progressive. Details at fredhall.com.
It's a whale of a show.
The offshore fishing around San Diego seems to keep getting better every year, and next season should be no exception. The same is true when it comes to Ford trucks. They just keep getting better, too. In fact, the new Ford Super Duty has just been named Motor Trend Magazine's 2017 Truck of the Year. It's the toughest, smartest, most capable Super Duty ever. If you've got a big boat to move around, look no further. Super Duty beats the competition hands down in both conventional towing and fifth wheel towing. Plus,
Plus, the new Super Duty is built with high-strength aluminum alloy body panels that won't rust ever. For folks like us that launch a lot of boats, that's a pretty big deal. Continuous improvements and innovations have made F-Series pickups the best-selling trucks in America for 40 years in a row, ever since disco and 8-tracks cassettes were all the rage. So whether you've got an eye on the built Ford Tough F-150 or you need the extra muscle of the new Ford Super Duty, you'll find what you need at your Ford dealer. Go to buyfordnow.com to learn more or stop by any San Diego County Ford dealer. They'll be glad to hook you up.